I am Jim Rome. I am in the Quicken Loans studios. Mortgage Confidently with Quicken Loans. Los Angeles Chargers running back Melvin Gordon is going to join us when practice is over. So we're targeting 20 past the hour, but we'll take that when we get that sometime this hour. Meantime, phone lines are still open. You know how to use them. Well, you know how to use them, but can you make a good phone call? That's the big question. 1-800-636-8686. All right, you know how to find me. I set that up every hour, top of the hour. You know where to find me. Come on in if you want in. Something I do want to talk about, though, to start this hour off. The Jets have their new head coach. Coveted position. It is New York. They're the Jets. You've got Sam Darnold. Everybody was looking at that spot. So who does that job go to? The man is Adam Gase. The New York Post is pumped. The Post went with the headline, Adam's Apple. Jets choose fish failure Gase to be next coach. Hey, whoa, easy. Pump the brakes, Post. Have you not seen what this dude looks like? I mean, I don't care about his body of work. Have you not seen what this guy looks like? Adam Gase totally looks like a 2019 NFL head coach. Young, in shape, nattily attired, sharply dressed, offensive background, white. What's that you say? He's coming off back-to-back losing seasons in the same division as the Jets? Who gives a damn? He's the guy to mentor Sam Darnold. I mean, did you see what he did with whoever the hell he had in Miami? I mean, all those random guys, did you see how much they improved underneath his mentorship? Didn't you? Look, I'm not saying that Gase isn't a great offensive mind, but I'm saying that Todd Bowles has to be thinking, what the hell just happened? I was fired, and this is the guy that you're going to replace me with. This guy is considered an upgrade over me. But then again, Adam G fits the look of the head coach that everybody wants right now. He fits the look that everybody's looking for. Now, you know who doesn't fit that look? Freddie freaking Kitchens. And he is expected to be the next head coach of America's team, the Cleveland Browns. One guy looks the part, the other guy is the part. You see, Freddie's not slim or buff or trim. He's not interested in being that guy. He's not interested in being svelte or some kind of stud. He's interested in being a football coach and being a football coach in Cleveland. Arguably, the best head coaching job in football is now filled with and it's filled by Freddie Kitchens. And personally, I couldn't be more hyped. See, Fred's not going to win any beauty pageants, but the dude is going to win football games. And by the way, nobody ever accused Bill Belichick of being George Clooney. Vince Lombardi wasn't exactly Brad Pitt. These guys did fine as football coaches. And don't get it twisted. I'm not just some guy jumping on the Kitchens bandwagon right now. Man, I built that bandwagon. I installed the engine in that bandwagon. I washed it. I detailed it. I waxed it. I've been driving that sled for a month because I saw what he did with Baker Mayfield. I saw how that offense took off when Kitchens took over. I saw how Mayfield's completion percentage went up 10 points and his yards per attempt went up by 2 full yards when Kitchens took over. I saw how the offense averaged nearly 7 yards per clip when he started to call the shots. That is greatest show on turf stuff right there. And it's not supposed to happen like that. Not in the middle of the season, not with a rookie quarterback, but it did. So if you're the Cleveland Browns and you see that, and you do whatever the hell you can to keep Freddie in Cleveland. And speaking of Freddie and Cleveland, here's something else about Fred. He loves Cleveland. Not the team, but the town. Check back what he said, or check what he said a few weeks back, and I quote, "I like it here. I like it here a lot, and everybody around here knows that I like it here. I love the town of Cleveland. Cleveland and I get along well. I didn't have a dad as a coach, okay? I didn't have a starting point in this league. I grew up the son of a tire maker at a Goodyear tire and rubber plant in Gadsden, Alabama. Benjamin E. Mays said, those who start behind in the game of life must run faster to catch up. I feel like I've been running fast my whole life, and that's the way it's going to continue. So whether it's here or what, I'm just here to do a job right now, this week and this year, end quote. Hey, C-Town, when was the last time somebody said that about your city? Freddie Kitchens is the anti-Joe Noah.
What's so good about Cleveland?
Freddie Kitchens would take a vacation there. Now, I'm not saying that loving the city where you work is essential to being a head coach, but when you're the head coach in Cleveland, it sure as hell helps. Because that relationship between that fan base and that team is tight. And they will love somebody who loves them. They'll love somebody who will love their city. They're used to everybody cracking on their town. Hell, my man's from Gadsden, Alabama. He's been running faster than anybody to get where he is right now. He played college ball at Alabama, started his college coaching career at Glenville State. This guy works his ass off. He was the running backs coach last January, and he will be the head coach this January. It's an amazing rise, meteoric rise, and he earned it. He's not the son of a former coach. He's the son of a tire maker. He made his own breaks in this game. He took advantage of every one of those breaks. The Cleveland Browns are America's team, and Freddie Kitchens is America's coach. Yeah, I said it. He doesn't look like any of these guys, which is a good thing. I love that hire because I saw what he did when he got the opportunity. I saw that offense and the way it was humming underneath him, and I love the fit. It's always about fit. It's always about fit. The coach with the quarterback, the coach with the GM, the coach with the roster, the coach and his scheme with the talent he has, the coach and the town. He checks every box. It all makes sense. I love it. And the juxtaposition to me is incredible. Look at Gaze. I'm not saying that Gaze won't have success. I am saying he didn't have success in Miami. It's not the most inspired hire, right? And if you're Mike McCarthy, what the hell are you thinking? If you're Mike McCarthy, what are you thinking right now when you look at all these young guys? You know, one of these guys is not like the others. Kitchens, but he got the job. McCarthy, most of all, because he doesn't have a job. He missed on all these jobs, good jobs. Mike McCarthy couldn't get any of these gigs. I'm not saying they're hiring by how guys look, but look at the guys and how they look and the gigs that they got. All right, let's go to Maine. Phil in Maine. I put a bunch out there, or maybe you want to bring something different to it. What's going on, Phil? How are you?
Jim, I'm good. How are you?
Good, great. What's up?
So I'm a Patriots fan. I just got to get that on the table right now. I'm, you know, calling from Maine. But my my mother-in-law, she's a big Jets fan, so I like the river. And I think that the Adam Gase hire, I really think that that's like a one-year temporary deal. And then they're either going to see what happens with John Harbaugh in Baltimore, and maybe they scoop him up. If McCarthy is still on the table next year, maybe they scoop him up. But Adam Gase, he's nothing but an offensive coordinator in New York, and I think the Jets know it. I think that's all temporary, and if it's not, the New England domination is just going to continue.
All right, Phil, you got it. Let me respond to you. Your point about it's just kind of a one-year stopgap so they can wait and see, and then they can fire him and scoop up McCarthy. They could have scooped up McCarthy this year. Why would they do that? Now, the thing about John Harbaugh makes more sense, except that Harbaugh is going to get a multi-year deal if they extend him, right? So how is he going to be available in 1 year? Now, the flip side of that is his bro, Jim Harbaugh, might be available. It's not a real good way to develop quarterbacks. You fire a coach, you bring in another coach, the quarterback signs off on that coach, but you only bring him in for 1 year, and then you're going to fire him and start over with another coach. Bro, I just think you want to give your mother-in-law some crap. And if you want to do that, go right ahead. But don't come on the show with some whack take to do it. Just do it. Dear Jim, with all these young, good-looking new coaches, the NFL coaches meeting will make Kitchens feel out of place and unwelcome. Signed, James Kelly at the Hat Store. Drew in West L.A. This email reads, well, the subject is can't hurt to try. The email reads, Or Todd Gurley shooting his shot. Joe Namath.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. What we know is we can improve. Chad missed. Chad Pennington, our quarterback, missed the first part of the season, and we struggled. We're looking to next season. We're looking to make a noise now, and I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
That's painful, man. Stop bringing that up. It's Joe freaking Namath. Leave Joe alone, man. Joe's so cool. I love Joe. I love Joe Namath. Let the record reflect. I love this guy. Love Joe Namath. And let that go, clones. Turn the page already. Guy had one bad night. One bad night. One really bad night. We've all had one bad night. Wait, you haven't? What if you had one bad night and you have, I have, Joe did, and somebody brought that up every freaking day for the rest of your life? You're going to be judged on one bad night? If that's the bad night, didn't kill anybody. Had one bad night. Too much to drink and a regrettable statement on air. God, leave it alone. Matt in Tucson. It's not fresh. It's not original. It's not funny. That was painful. Leave it alone. Let it go. All right. In the meantime, I love Joe Namath. Great. Still a huge figure. Huge personality. Good takes, too, man. Takes for days. 1-800-636-8686. And topical. Jets are looking for a quarterback. They've got their quarterback. Now they need a head coach to develop that quarterback. Adam Gase? I'm not going to say that's a boring hire. But that's not the most inspired thing, is it? Vanilla. Mayonnaise. Or he's vanilla. And McCarthy would be mayonnaise. I don't know. Hey, Rome. What's wrong with Chael fighting the same guy over and over and over again? Yours, Chael, using the same smack-off call 2 years in a row. Good point, Chad. Good point. Especially since the first fight with this guy went so utterly terrible for Chael. Like the first smack-off call. But then he made the same smack-off call the next year. And that also went terribly. So why wouldn't Chael fight the same guy again? He made the same call again. I don't know. Maybe Chael is looking to reinvent or reimagine. Rome. So, Chael is getting a redo. Hopefully his fighting plans after taking an L are better than his smack-off plan after taking an L. If he comes in with that same tired-ass approach in the cage like he did in the last smack-off, that hack Tito is going to beat his ass again. War of the 837. Dan in Denver, RTN. I'll get into that momentarily. I'm efforting Melvin Gordon right now. Stay with it. Hopefully Melvin Gordon's next. And my thoughts on Chael and Tito still ahead.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Huge matchup in Foxborough on Sunday. I am pumped for this. We're joined right now by a running back for the LA Chargers. He is a two-time Pro Bowler. 40 yards and a touchdown in that wild card win over the Ravens. Huge season. 1,375 yards from scrimmage. A career best 14 total TDs in the regular season. A career high 5.1 yards per carry this season. He was an All-American and a Doak Walker Award winner at Wisconsin. Again, Chargers at Patriots. Sunday, 1:05 p.m. Eastern start on CBS. Melvin Gordon is my guest. Melvin, great to have you back. How are you?
Be good, big dog.
Doing great, Melvin. How about you? How'd practice go?
It was great. We just doing a walkthrough right now, slide and glide. Finna eat and then get ready for the real practice.
All right, so I'm not going to waste your time. Hey, let me ask you to go back to that game against Baltimore. Winning on the road is tough. Winning on the road in the playoffs is even harder. But you guys have been doing this all season long. How do you explain the success that the Chargers have had on the road, and what does it say about the toughness of this team?
We just a tight-knit group, man. We just stick together. Been through, a lot of up and downs together with this group.
for, you know, quite a few years now. You know, and then with the big move, the big change, and us not having as many fans as probably the opposing team, we just feel like, you know, we just good with playing with our backs against the wall.
Yeah, I was going to say, after the game, you also made the point that the offense did not convert in the red zone the way you may have liked, but you've got a great kicker, you've got a great defense, you got the win. Obviously, you'll work to find a better way or a way to better produce in the red zone, but how good does it feel to know that you've got a kicking game and a defense that's going to pick you up and have your back?
It feels good, man, because, you know, it takes more than just one side of the ball or one phase to make a run at the Super Bowl. You know, at the big trophy. It takes all three phases, you know, special teams including, you know, offense and defense, you know, not just one side be stronger than the other. You know, it takes all three, man. So, you know, to see all three come through and make a difference, you know, it's good, man, because we're going to need that for these games later down the road.
Melvin Gordon joining us. You know, if you go back to that point about playing in Carson, it's just a different deal, right? I mean, you're in between things. It's a different sort of setup. It's not that big. What's it like for you guys to play there, and is there any advantage going out on the road when you play your home games in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool playing there, man. You know, we do wish it was, you know, a tad bit bigger. You know, but it's still a cool atmosphere. The first game we got to play, the night game against Baltimore, unfortunately we lost, but it was super, super, super dope, though. So, I mean, it's a cool experience. But like I said, you know, we don't have, you know, I think it's because of the ticket prices. I said that before, you know, that we don't have as many fans there as we would like. But, you know, when you got the opposing team like that, and it's 50-50 or, you know, 40-60 or whatever the case may be, it helps you for road games. So, you know, I think it's been benefiting us, believe it or not.
Chargers running back Melvin Gordon joining us. I do believe that. You know, after a win on the road, a lot of guys like to talk about how nobody believed in us, nobody gave us a chance. But in this case, you had an Uber driver who really did not give you guys a chance against Baltimore. Man, it was so funny. What did you make of that conversation and his prediction for the game?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool, man. You know, when I got in the car, he started talking about Baltimore instantly. You know, and, you know, through the conversation, I could tell he was just, you know, he told me that he wasn't even really a Baltimore fan. He was just saying that because he thought I was a Baltimore fan and he was trying to get a tip. So, you know, I understood. It was funny to me. You know, it was really genuine, man, but it was really funny. I think he made the video, in all honesty, but. I just kind of played along with it and kind of just went with it. But it was cool, man.
It was really funny. And you brought up that Chargers running back, quote, the Melvin Gordon kid, to see what he thought of your game. But while he said that, quote, he's something, he didn't seem to be all overly impressed. Obviously, at that time, he didn't know that you were Melvin Gordon. But just get the sense that maybe he believes that Melvin Gordon is more than something. Like, what did he really think?
Oh, yeah. I think he do, you know. But, you know, he just, you know, he was just still stuck on Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? He was stuck on them, and, you know, he don't really know too much about the Chargers. You know, he know Phil, but, yeah, I mean, he just talked over me slightly, which was cool. I didn't have a hard problem with it, but, you know, it was just funny just to get the reaction from him.
We're talking to Melvin Gordon. Really quickly, you mentioned Phil. Now, you stuck up for Philip Rivers, but again, this guy was having none of that. I've been saying for a long time now, Rivers does not get nearly the level of respect and credit that he deserves. But listen, you're around this guy all the time. Tell everybody right now just how good is Philip Rivers?
Man, he's awesome, man. I mean, just like I always tell people, it's like he's out there playing chess. He just knows where everybody's going to be. He knows the situation. He knows the down the distance when you're going to bring a blitz. And, you know, sometimes he's wrong. You know, not every time they strike gold with calls and things like that. But, you know, more times than none he do. So, you know, he just – the way he prepares and go about his business, man, is just so competitive. You know, it's crazy. 14 years down the line, you know, he still has that edge and that passion for the game, man. And it's just inspiring to see. As a young player.
Melvin, 14 years down the line, what do you make of Phillip toting the rock in the fourth quarter and then signaling for the first down?
That just lets you know. That's that passion showing, man. That's that passion. He got, you know, he was just saying, like, he just told us, like, man, because we just, after he did that, we went crazy. Everybody, defense players, everybody, wish they had a camera on all of us. We all went crazy. And he was just like, man, the energy I got from that, I was just so jacked. Yeah, man, that's just what it's, you know, that's what it's all about, man. He's just selling out for a squad. You know, we know Phil don't really run like that. So when he gets the first down, man, it just shows us that, you know, he's putting everything on the line to get us to the big game.
Dude, not only that run, but when he paused for a minute and then he signaled that first down, I've watched that video like 100 times. That is so cool. That is awesome.
So dope.
It is dope.
So dope, man.
No doubt.
Gosh.
So you got the Patriots on Sunday. As you start to get ready for that game and that defense, what's your number one focus?
Just to be, clean on my technique, to be sound, and just to be ready in pass protection. That's one of the biggest things, obviously, to let Phil do what he do. And just be technique sound and be aware of, what they got going on and where I need to look at for my run calls, because I want to be ready, too. I want to dominate as well. You know what I'm saying? We understand that, Phil and Rivers and, Phil and Brady and, we know they're going to sling it. But we got other weapons too. And, I feel like we're going to be very explosive. And when my jersey number is called, I want to be ready to make some plays and help put this team on my back as well.
Got another moment or so with Melvin Gordon. Your teammate and defensive lineman, co-captain Brandon Mebane, announced that his 7-week-old daughter passed away last week. Melvin, that's like the very worst thing that could ever happen to a father and a family. How do you go about trying to support him during this time?
Just be there for him. I just told him that I was sorry to hear about it. And, you don't want to just keep bringing it up every day and asking the man, is he okay? And just remind him of a situation that he's probably trying to get over. I gave him my, regards and I told him sorry. And I was sorry to hear that and that I'm here for you. And if he reaches out to me, and want to talk about it or whatever, then, I'm more than open to, more than willing to listen. But until then, I'll just let it be. And, just hopefully, I know he's going to come out here and play with some passion. And, we doing it for him as well.
Sure. Melvin Gordon, my guest. I've got to ask you about your alma mater right before you go. Facing the Patriots means you're going to go up against your former Wisconsin teammate, James White. Look, you're going to be motivated for a playoff game no matter what, but how much more motivation is there when you know there's bragging rights between teammates that are on the line?
Yeah, it means a lot, man. When he's training, all we heard was, how dope the Patriots are. James is the type of guy where he, people was talking for him, mostly our trainer was talking for him. James just kind of sit there. James don't really say too much or brag too much, or really even if he win, he never, because they beat us last year, and he didn't say anything about it, honestly. That's just how James is, though, and that's how I am when it comes to him. Now, anybody else, I'll be bragging, but you best believe that, I want to go out there and go get me a ring, and I know we got to go through the Patriots to do it. He has a ring. Corey has a ring. Monty Woodhead got his opportunity. So, both of the guys that I played with in college have a ring. So, this is my chance. So I'm going to definitely make the best of it.
All right, Roy, last question. My son Jake, Melvin, is a senior in high school. We're making decisions about colleges. We've spent a lot of time this past year in Wisconsin. It may be his top choice. He got into Wisconsin. What was life like as a student in Madison? And as a parent, do I want to send my kid there?
Yeah, you do, man. I can't say that they party. They definitely party, but they're the only people that party and then be up for class the next morning like it's no big problem. It's just kind of crazy, and I'm not just selling out because I went there and I loved it there. But that's just how it goes, man. When it's time to buckle down, that's what people do. They take their study serious, but they also know how to have a good time with it and balance it out, which is good. So. It's a perfect place to be, man. It's going to be a wonderful experience, especially night games in Wisconsin. It's going to be awesome. So, if he's looking for that, man, I definitely miss it to this day. It'll be something that he'll remember forever and always want to be a part of. But as far as studies, man, it's grade A. So, you don't even have to worry about that. They're going to get him adjusted quick with that, believe me.
My man, where do I sign? That's a great recruiting pitch. And by the way, it's a really good academic school, a really tough school to get into. Melvin Gordon joining us. Bro, I know you have so much to do this week. It is so great to have you on the show. Really appreciate you and that conversation, Melvin. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
Yes, sir, man. Melvin Gordon, God, I love him. Love his game, love his personality, love the way he shows up. Got a great way about him and a great game. All right, so it's on. The Chargers getting their chance. They're getting their shot now. 0-7. We know this. We've heard this number a million times. What I'm saying is they're different. It's a really different team. It's a really different opportunity. It's a different challenge. Yeah, Philip Rivers has not had any success against Tom Brady, but he's never had a better supporting cast around him. And I'm going to argue that Philip Rivers has never played better than he is right now. I'm going to argue Rivers is playing as well or better than Tom Brady right now. Love that matchup. Who do you have and why? They're not the same. And the Patriots, watching them this year, they're not the same either. Next segment, when we come back, a chance for you to call. Also, pretty much a lock that I'll get into Tito and Chael. These guys are at it again. Same dudes, same beef. That's coming up next. Heat. Branded products are designed to keep your fuel system flowing even under the toughest conditions. Remove water, raise MPGs, clean the fuel system. Heat, baby. Now it's time for a sport. Amazing interview day. Cliff Kingsbury in hour number one, George McPhee. Also back in the first hour, Melvin Gordon. Right there. And time for one last segment. Time for you to get on the phone, hit me up. And time for me to mention this. Well, looky here. What do you know? Looks like we may have a sequel in the fight game. And no, I'm not talking about Conor Khabib or another installment of DC and Bones, although I wish I were. Now, I'm talking about the bad boy versus the bad guy. Tito Ortiz, the Huntington Beach bad boy. Chael Sonnen, the self-proclaimed bad guy. The two of them have been going back and forth on Twitter. And now the only question is, will the rematch make the jump from the screen back to the cage? 4 days ago, Chael tweeted out, quote, "Hey, stupid, Tito Ortiz, straight up, do you want to fight or not?" End quote. Of course, that worked its way back to Tito, who responded in part, quote, "This guy has a big mouth and won't keep it shut. This is personal. Plus, it'll be fun to torture him in the cage. No submissions this time," end quote. And then TMZ found Tito walking around yesterday, and then Tito all but confirmed that the fight is in fact going to go down.
"And I'm going to smash Chael. I'm not going to choke him. I'm not going to submit him. I'm going to smash him. I'll put a shoe on for every one of the fans. That's what, this guy has a loud mouth. I'm going to shut him up. And like I say, I'm not going to choke him. I'm not going to submit him. I'm going to pummel him for 3 rounds and give the fans what they want to see. And that's a great fight."
So he made that point a couple of times. You remember that almost 2 years ago, to the day, in fact, Tito choked out Chael in the very first round of their Bellator fight at the Forum in Inglewood. Now, that fight was not that memorable, so I'm not exactly jonesing for the rematch. Like, I don't watch that fight and think to myself, man, I need that fight. I need that fight again. However, the pre-fight presser was an all-timer, and they generally are when Chael is involved. I mean, in a way, Chael was Conor before Conor was Conor. And even those guys, this guy's last two smack-offs have left a lot to be desired. This exchange with Tito 2 years ago really did not.
"Tito, go ahead. Tell him what I do so well."
"Well, he talks well. His mouth has gotten him every fight, big fight that he's had."
"Tito always says I'm using my mouth to get my opportunities. The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife."
"Well, just to correct you, I was never no marriage. You're a f***ing punk, dude." That's what you call class? Right here, compared to no class.
"That was a nasty line.
No class.
Me.
No class at all. That's why you see him with thongs and f***ing jeans and a t-shirt. No class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
A bad girl."
It's amazing. That is a rare piece of audio that literally gets better with every single spin. I mean, it's incredible. Chael sitting there and patting himself on the back for a nasty line. The media collectively gasping at that line. And then Tito responding with a blast that was so freaking bad that it was almost good.
"Tito, go ahead. Tell him what I do so well."
"Well, he talks well. His mouth has gotten him every fight, big fight that he's had."
"Tito always says I'm using my mouth to get my opportunities. The only person I know that made money using their mouth is his ex-wife."
"Well, just to correct you, I was never no marriage. You're a f***ing punk, dude." That's what you call class right here compared to no class.
That was a nasty line.
No class. No class at all. That's why you see him with thongs and f-ing jeans and a t-shirt. No class.
They don't call you the bad guy for nothing.
A bad girl.
Like, Chael was afraid that he wasn't going to get enough credit for that. Oh, that's a nasty line by me, Whoa. Yo, that was a nasty line by me. Like he was not going to get credit for that. What a perfect exchange, start to finish. Perfection. And now all of a sudden, I find myself looking forward to a rematch of a fight that I had no interest in. Because any opportunity to put these two together at a table with a microphone in front of both of them is just too damn good to pass up. I mean, go ahead, make that happen. Make that happen tomorrow. The funny thing is, Tito told TMZ that the person who is going to make it happen is Scott Coker, a Bellator, which is a little bit strange because Tito just fought under Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy MMA promotion when he knocked out Chuck Liddell in November. And before that fight, Tito was saying that De La Hoya's new MMA promotion was the future of the sport. But he just told TMZ that a future fight with Chael would not be made under the Golden Boy flag, but rather Bellator. Which is kind of interesting. I don't know. Could it be that fight with an almost 50-year-old Chuck Liddell was so misguided that even Tito won't go near De La Hoya again? I don't know. I don't know if De La Hoya promised him something and didn't come through. I don't know if that was that bad of a look. I just know that he's not going back there. He's not saying. He's not saying what it is. But then again, does he need to? I don't know. Dana White pretty much already did.
I heard last week the cokehead, Oscar De La Weirdo, is talking that I don't have any place to tell guys when to retire. First of all, it's called friendship, you f***ing cokehead. Tito and Oscar De La Dummy were made for each other, man. Those two f***ing nutheads. I hope somebody talks De La Hoya into fighting again, okay? And I hope he gets f***ing knocked out just like Chuck Liddell did in the first round. F***ing cokehead nutball.
I've seen Dana White pretty pissed about a lot of things. I'm not sure I've ever seen him that angry. But then again, that was Chuck Liddell walking into the octagon to get knocked out at 50. Hey, look, I really don't care who gets Tito and Chael to that presser. I don't care if it's Oscar. I don't care if it's Coker. I don't care who it is. I don't care who gets those two guys to that press conference, just as long as somebody gets them to that press conference. So we'll see. And they're going back and forth beefing on Twitter once again. Do you want to see that or do you not need to see that? And really, what can Chael do? Can Chael do any better in the presser than he did? Could Chael do any worse in the cage than he did? Does Chael really want this? I don't know. I think Chael's bored. The problem is when you act out on that boredom, he can get you choked out. Tito also is saying, it's not good enough for me to choke him out. I'm going to punish him for 3 rounds this time. We'll see what happens.
A bad girl. Boy.
Oh, there's Chael. Chael grew a beard. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there's Chael and Chael. Oh! You're a bad boy, Chael. Bad girl.
A bad girl.
Let's go to Santa Clara. Frank, you made it in. Hey, Frank, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. First time in the jungle. And the highlight so far is I'm a little starstruck because I got to talk to Hawk. He picked right up. And he worked for a celebrity, and that really goes a long way with me. I can't wait to tell everyone
nice.
Later today how that went down. The Melvin Gordon piece, that was really good. The guy's got a lot of swag, a lot of confidence. And you might be right about Phillip Rivers having the best supporting cast, but what these guys have never experienced before is going into Foxborough in January, and that Patriot mystique is really going to rear its head. I get the feeling this might be one of the last times it happens, but I would not discount something funny happening, you know, Patriot Mystique style. Other thing I wanted to talk about, I've been to Wisconsin, that campus. Probably one of the funnest campuses I have ever been on. I highly recommend everyone to go to it. But, and I know you have some sentiment here too, I was the king of DP on the mean streets of Isla Vista in the summer of 2005. And I want to know, why have you not been pushing the gauchos more for your son. I'm out.
You got it, Frank. Thanks so much. All right, so you're the king of DP. DP is Del Playa. Del Playa is the one street that you want to be on in Isla Vista, which is the college town for UC Santa Barbara. The thing is, I did push it. We took a trip up to UCSB. Jake saw the campus. Wants to be his own dude. Does not want to follow in his old man's footsteps. Wants to be his own guy. Wants to get out of the state. Wants to experience something different. You know, he grew up in Southern California. He doesn't want to go to a school that is very similar to what he knows and what he grew up with. So I tried, bro. I tried to push the alma mater on him. You know I love UCSB. But Jake wanted to try something different. So Jake has looked at a lot of places out of state. Arizona's been coming fast of late. They got into the game late. But just as an update, Jake got into Wisconsin. He got in. He got into Missouri. He got into Arizona State. He got into Emerson College. We're still waiting on Notre Dame, Syracuse. What else? I think that's it right now. Arizona. So he has not made his decision yet, but it's not going to be UCSB. Hey, bro, me and my boy Sam Gay were watching the Gauchos on Big West TV last night. All right, online. I'm like, Sammy, isn't this great? He's like, bro, I'd pay for this. I'd pay money to see this. So I'm still all about UCSB. UCSB basketball, UCSB baseball, UCSB lifestyle. Maybe Logan. But he better get his ass in gear academically. Hey, Rome, Tito and that dude that looks like Keith Arnold are feuding again. So exciting. Regards, the 2019 Hefty v. Baldrick match, part two. Geoff and Lincoln. Chael looks like Chael. You saw them side by side. Even the New York guys got in on it. Beaks in Studio City tweets, I love how Chael Sonnen is about to serve up fodder for the rest of the Smack Off 25 field by getting his ass kicked by Tito Ortiz again. We'll see. Maybe he's got a little something up his sleeve. Yeah, I'm more concerned not how he shows up against Tito again, but how he shows up the third time in the Smack Off. He'd already won the thing. He was a legend. And then made a call and it didn't work. Then called back the next year and made the same exact call and it still didn't work. Would he do that a third time? That's the real question. Playoffs are this weekend, and the big game is right around the corner. Do not spend game day babysitting your grill. Get a master-built smoker. Let the smoker do all the work for you. You're going to love how simple it is to produce award-worthy grub every single time. Master-built smokers available at Home Depot, Lowe's, Sam's Club, Academy, Bass Pro, and Cabela's. For more information, you want to go to masterbuilt.com, masterbuilt.com. My thanks to Melvin Gordon of the LA Chargers, Cliff Kingsbury, Arizona Cardinals, George McPhee, Vegas Golden Knights GM. Clones, had yourselves a pretty decent day. Let's run it back tomorrow. Finish strong. Let's definitely get into all the matchups this weekend tomorrow. My thanks to the XR4TI crew. Thanks for you, Clones, doing a nice job. See you tomorrow. We're out.